Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It is back tonight.
NBA
returns. And I know, don't worry, we're not going to talk. I know some of you get very upset. We also know we're in Kansas City. We're not going to spend much time talking NBA tonight. But I am excited to have the association back opening night tonight. We're going to get into a little bit on that later on in the show. And also, there's some local basketball news that ties into it as well. Christian Brown got a massive extension yesterday.
Sure did.
Which was pretty cool to see. So I am excited. I know Drew's fired up for it. Perfect timing if you're just joining us for the first time today. It's Drew's birthday. He's now part of the 30
Happy
Club.
Happy birthday!
Yep, he's in the 30s.
Hey, thank you.
Someone did text it and say, all right, Drew, you made it to your 30. No more shirtless selfies.
Wow.
None of this. No more videos of that kind of stuff. Now that you're 30, you have to cut it out.
In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll let you text an advice for Drew and how he should treat his 30s. Make sure he knows what the best course of action. Just one piece of advice you'd say that he should make sure he takes care of in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that in the 1 o'clock hour. Yeah. That way Drew's taken care of, seeing how it's his first day in the 30s. The Thunder, prohibitive favorites. They're like 2-1 or even money. And then it's like Cavs or Nuggets after them, I think.
And
is
obviously Cooper Flagg is this heavy, heavy rookie of the year favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm excited to see what he can do, obviously.
I'm interested in seeing Luka.
Oh, out in L.A.? Because he's lost some weight and everything?
I want to see ripped Luka just tear through the league.
Well, I mean, the MVP odds overall right now, SGA, of course, trying to go and
Jokic,
do that again.
Jokic, I'm sure, is up there.
Plus 160, Jokic, second best odds, and then Luka, 4-1, Wimby coming back, he's 10-1, and then Giannis still sitting there, 13-1.
Wimby somehow got taller and better, it seems, like over the course of the... He's 7-7.
People are saying he was lying about it before. Like, they were trying to trick the league a little bit. Somebody figured out that they were on their game, that he didn't actually grow. He's just always that tall.
So, yeah, we'll mix in, maybe in the 1 o'clock hour, have some fun with the NBA that does get going again tonight. Plus, we were saying it's Michael Jordan's part of the NBC broadcast, at least pregame and studio stuff. So it's pretty rare to see that, which makes it, even for those of you that are like, the NBA was better back in my day. Well, Michael Jordan's part of the coverage. Maybe that'll help ease it in for some people.
We all assume his broadcast style is going to be like, this guy stinks, and I don't understand why his game's no good.
I really hope there's a level of that.
How honest he's going to be.
I'm tired of these guys shooting threes, man. You know,
I don't know how honest he's going to be. Like, if he's just going to tell like it is, or if he's going to change because he's got a gig now. I don't know. We're all going to find out.
People are texting in advice.
Yeah, people are saying good luck with your metabolism, which is also true.
Also, to not listen to Cody.
We did say, and I don't know what your plans are after the show. It's a little last minute. We may have to figure this out another day. Someone said, aren't you guys going to Chuck's Arcade for Drew's birthday?
Well, we're not going tonight.
I totally forgot about that.
He's got dinner plans with his wife.
Correct.
He doesn't want to spend his birthday night with us, okay?
I forgot about the Chuck's Arcade thing.
We did say Chuck's Arcade.
We are going to have to make that happen.
We've learned a lot in my professor segments. Bad news. We've been doing Professor Tap on Thursdays.
I got a substitute already.
What?
Yeah, I already went out and I went in. There's the teacher portal, and I went out and found us a substitute teacher for Thursday.
I'm on kid field trip duty on Thursday. I try to make those when they request. They requested that I come to the nature sanctuary or whatever it is. Just make sure that things, make sure we have a good time together.
Is our substitute teacher going to roll in the TV on that cart like they did back in the day?
I will say he has full creative flexibility with what he wants to do.
I think that's scary, but also intriguing.
So that'll be Thursday.
As a student, I'm excited for this. Yeah. Substitute teachers are great.
Who knows what reaction? Yeah, I don't know if just going to flip on highlights or what. I don't know what we're going to get.
I'll tell you right now. Just like all other substitute teachers, I'm going to expect a report back from the teacher on how the class behaved. Are you guys going to mind your business?
Yeah.
You're going to make sure that you let this person teach their lesson?
What are the chances the teacher actually gives you a report back?
I'll get a report back.
I don't think this substitute teacher's put in that kind of work, so we'll see. All right.
You think it's one just taking the check? Huh?
I think that's what's going to happen. Okay. All right, let's get back into the Chiefs a little bit. And we teased it before the break, the AFC right now, and at the top of it, you have the Colts. You got a Patriots team that is surprising a lot of people. Drake May continues to play very, very well. Mike Vrabel's got that defense also slowly turning into what you expect from a Vrabel defense. It's not quite there yet. Who's the bigger threat right now to the Chiefs and their quest? Let's say the Chiefs get to where we think they will eventually, which is being one of the top three seeds, I still think, in the AFC when it's all said and done. Yes, that means I think they can win the division still. So who's the biggest threat for them? Is it Daniel Jones and those Colts? Or is it Drake May and the New England Patriots?
Can I tell you why I love this conversation? Because we're not taking the Bills off this list. The Bills have been a perennial contender. They are still in the playoff mix versus the Ravens, who we don't have to take serious at all. And we've already just decided as a collective over the years not to take the Broncos seriously, the Steelers seriously, the Chargers, the Jags, the Bengals. I don't care about any of those other teams. So if I'm going to have to choose someone besides Buffalo to take serious, the only two teams, in my opinion, at the moment, unless Denver starts looking a lot different offensively, even though I know they won, unless they're going to start looking a lot different offensively, is those two teams. I think it's the Colts. I think the Colts are lining up for one of those once every 4 years where some team whose quarterback you want to dismiss because it doesn't quite track in your head gets in there, and you're like, I don't think so. But everything about their team lines up. They win and win by a wide margin. They're undefeated in the conference. They're in a medium-level division, at least. Like, the Texans aren't. They're not good, but they're not a laughing stock. The Jags are medium, but they're not a laughing stock. And so, like, they found a way to take complete control of their division. They've got a quarterback playing confidently at a high level. And what happens with the Patriots is, I just think they're a year too early. I will take them seriously moving forward. If I made this a for the next 5 years, who do you take more serious conversation? Yeah. Well, then it's the Patriots by a pretty wide margin. They're just a year too early. Don't have enough offensive weapons. Don't have enough defensive weapons. They are a good, solid football team who is well coached. I don't fear them the way I fear the Colts at this stage.
So I don't fear either team, I will say the Colts are clearly the answer to this question. They have the number one offense in football, and they're going to win their division. And therefore, they're going to get a home game, and they're trending towards the number one seed. That makes them a bigger threat as well. Just that whole setup.
That they could be playing at home.
I think if the Patriots are the 5 or 6 seed, I think they can go on the road and win. You know, like if you tell me that the Patriots are the 5 seed and the Steelers are the 4, the Patriots, a lot of people are going to pick them to go beat Pittsburgh. If the Patriots are going, and let's say the Chargers still win the division, or excuse me, the Broncos win the division, and the Patriots are going to Denver, Patriots can win that game. Some people might even pick them to upset the Chiefs. I think that'll be foolish if the Chiefs are playing the way we all think they're going.
Massive mistake.
But the Patriots, if they go to Pittsburgh or Denver or someplace like that in the playoffs, if the one of those teams wins their division, then I think they can win that. The Colts are the bigger threat, but the fact that this is the conversation still makes me feel very good. If I'm Buffalo or if I'm Kansas City, because I still know that if your team can get in the dance, you still have the better quarterbacks. And typically, not always, typically the best quarterbacks find ways to win in the postseason. It's not always that simple, but it's pretty darn close.
Occasionally in the playoffs, like we mentioned, like the Bortles year, you can.
Bortles, Mark Flacco, Sanchez, Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson. There's outliers, but we're talking about three guys in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's not common. I'm just trying to think about like getting to a conference title game. In the NFC, that's been way more common. Just some quarterback who you're like, oh, them? Okay, nice job getting to the NFC title game there, bud. You know, like whatever. That's happened a little bit more frequently.
I just want to see the Colts go up. I want to see the Colts go up against Josh Allen or Mahomes. By the way, they will go up against Mahomes here in a couple weeks. I want them to face a top tier quarterback. Justin Herbert's very good. He's not a top tier elite, top five quarterback in the league. They haven't faced one of those guys yet. Matthew Stafford's the closest to that, and they lost that game.
Looking over in the text line, some people are like, I don't even take the Bills seriously. Somebody tossing in other teams mentioning the Steelers still because of Aaron Rodgers. I was like, I don't know, man. We talked about this.
He is playing better.
They lost to the Bengals and Joe Flacco and gave up 300-yard passes.
Rodgers is playing fine, but the Steelers as a whole are the same old Steelers. We said that after last Thursday's game. Same Steelers are probably going to win the division still. But they're not doing anything in the postseason.
Somebody mentioned this yesterday when we were going through the All 32, and I mentioned the Colts. Lou Anarumo seems to somehow have his way a little bit with Patrick Mahomes, and just not necessarily making him play bad, but
he's done a better job than most coordinators.
He has a good
him.
Game plan. So I think that also maybe factors into not just the offensive part, but Lou Anarumo being the DC all of a sudden, I think, makes that matchup even a little bit more intriguing when we get to it.
The best thing that happened to him is he got fired by the Bengals.
It's worked out very well for him.
He's got a top 10 defense, and the Bengals don't. They have the second worst defense in the NFL at the moment, points per game wise. No, I think that there is something to the Lou part. You got to go back to when they got past Kansas City in the AFC title game. It was Lou Anarumo dropped 8 in coverage more than anyone had ever done that to Patrick Mahomes ever. And that became the book on Mahomes for a full season after that. Like they went like full shift, and everybody in the NFL did that for a while. Now I think the Chiefs have too many weapons to just be like shut down by them.
It's
the quarterback thing that's the only reason to give us pause. If the quarterbacks are switched,
of course,
we would say the Colts without even.
But that's a huge deal. But that's everything. I mean, I this is not me hating on Indianapolis. They've done an amazing job, and they're proving everybody, including me and you and Drew, all wrong. Okay, they're having an awesome season, and they're going to be a playoff team and all that. It feels still a lot like Minnesota last year to me. I'm sorry. Let's see where they're at in week 16, 17, and 18. How healthy are they? What level is Daniel Jones still playing at? We all remember what happened to Sam Darnold and the Vikings late. They won 14 games. He looked like bleep the final week or so, and they lost in the opening round of the postseason, if I'm not mistaken. That's what it still feels like to me, and maybe
you're
saying
there's still like a false bottom.
The difference for them, they might be the one seed, so they get an automatic bye. Maybe that's the difference, and that's why the one seed actually for them is so important. I don't think Daniel Jones winning 3 playoff games. Can Daniel Jones win a playoff game to get him an AFC title game? Maybe. Is he winning 3? Not so sure about that.
Their schedule
is
still not bad.
If they get to an AFC title game, then surely Daniel Jones is getting paid, right? I mean, he's the guy then. I mean,
he will be their starting quarterback for the long haul now.
I think
if as long as he has, he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm. It's a Baker thing. They're going to pay him a cut. He's going to get another big payday. Daniel Jones, they're not going to have this kind of success and then change it up. Not in my opinion. It's just, there's just no way.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 7 minutes or so, but it is that time of the week where we talk a little college football. Drew sets this up with some of the top storylines and the conversation right now. A very interesting week in college football behind us, that's for sure. And now looking ahead a little bit where the college football playoff picture is getting a little more interesting.
Yeah, I think this is really, it's really crazy because who would have thought that we ever would be at this position? Not just in 2025, but really ever. Indiana, who had never before Kurt Cignetti had a better season than 8-4, is second in the country right now. Georgia Tech is undefeated and 7-0 and seventh in the country. And then Vanderbilt is 10th in the country at 6-1. I felt like if you would have said this to us, if you would have said, hey, in 5 years, this is what the case is going to be like, and you told us this in 2020 or even like 2015, we all would have said you're absolutely crazy. And what happened to college football?
Hey, maybe NIL's working.
I think this is a very good example of that. Yes.
And this is my hope. Is the only way I'll know that it's working for real, though, is if one of these teams actually punched the damn ticket.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Or at least get to a national title.
Give me Indiana football national champion.
I mean, that would be.
You know? Not Oregon, not Georgia, not Bama, not Ohio, not all the teams we're used to. Give me Georgia Tech national championship. Who give me Vanderbilt, national champion. You give me that, then I know NIL's working. Like versus just evening the playing field a little, which it obviously has done.
So. It's awesome to see these schools are at the top. I still think if I were, as of right this second, say who I think are the top two teams or whatever in the country, Ohio State to me is the best team in college football still.
Yes, yes.
Alabama would probably be number two for me. And then I would go with like Indiana/Oregon. That's probably where I'm at if I were to rank out real quickly off the top of my head. College football, but it's great. It's great for the sport to see these schools that normally are not in this picture right there. Now, there's a ton of college football left, as you all know, that this can change in a hurry. But right now, trending towards a college football playoff that's going to have a lot of new blood.
I think even Cody, is this the like them getting to them wanting a national title? Of course, it would mean a lot of things for college football. I think even
getting to one,
would
like
be big.
Measure.
If because I think everybody's kind of waiting for Indiana to be the Indiana that we're used to, I guess, if you will. Which I don't think they are. I think they're different this year. But if they were to lose in the first round, and let's say they got a bye, they were the fourth team, and they lost to the 5 seed, a very tight matchup that easily could go different ways. But if Indiana lost that, then everybody would be like, oh, well, you know, it is Indiana after all. I think even them getting to a semifinal and beating a big boy, whether that's Georgia or Oregon, just to get to that point, I think would be a big deal. But
they went to the college football playoff last year and lost. It's got to go further than that.
They were a 10 seed, though, and they didn't host. So I think there's
– I know, but
if they're a 2 seed and they – I think it would be – if they got to a semifinal, I think it would signify that NIL is working. Maybe not to win a national title and compete to that level, but it means that it's working.
Sure. It's working even better than the system was before.
Yes.
But it would still feel like a baseball discrepancy. It's not like we could just play in a World Series or go to the playoffs. I want to win a World Series. And there's still like a discrepancy of top to bottom of those things. What I'm saying is like even just one time showing the little guy can do it.
Can actually
win
do it.
It.
Yeah.
That would mean a lot.
Which, and it's crazy too, because Vandy's beaten Alabama before. They've beaten LSU. So in a way, Vandy's kind of already proven it
They got Mizzou this week.
I know. Is interesting because obviously that game is massive. But one of the names outside of Matt Rhule with Penn State, outside of Lane Kiffin with Florida, whose name has kind of been floated, not as a favorite, but as a guy to maybe watch in this conversation of coaching carousel, if you will, that's Coach Drinkwitz at Missouri. And I think it's an interesting thing where I know we obviously disagreed a little bit with Kurt Cignetti, but last year I said if Penn State would have offered him the job after last season, I think Kurt Cignetti leaves for sure. Now that they're number two in the country, I think it's a little bit different. This year, I think if Missouri makes the playoff, this is like what Indiana did last year, where if Florida or Penn State said, hey, Coach Drinkwitz, you want to come and coach, I think he actually would leave more likely so after this season than if he stuck around after making the playoff, let's say this year, if they did it. It feels like if you make it once, you parlay that into a quote-unquote bigger time job where, I mean, some are arguing whether Missouri is actually a better job than Florida, which to me I think is a little bit of a reach. But I think it's fair to compare the two with Indiana and Mizzou and how they've kind of looked over the last couple of seasons.
The only thing with Drinkwitz I would say is maybe I think I have the classification right for both these players, but Hardy and Prabula are back next year, right?
Hardy,
I think Hardy's back next year.
I think he...
I don't think he's not a senior, right? So
Prabula for sure.
Prabula's a redshirt junior.
He's going to be with him. Yeah, we have Prabula's
I guess what I'm saying
with.
Is like if his roster is still stacked next year, why would he...
Which I think is the argument.
Hardy's only a sophomore.
And I think that's the argument that's the argument why Kurt Cignetti stayed where he was. But again, this is another year of him doing what he did last year. Cody, I think to your point, Pennsylvania is one thing. And Pennsylvania produces a lot of college football talent. And obviously, Penn State is Penn State. But I think being able to not just coach in a hotbed, but recruit in a hotbed.
He's a good recruiter. It's his best skill.
Yeah, I would be really intrigued to see how quickly he could get Florida back to double-digit wins. I think he could do it maybe, I don't know about as quick as Lane Kiffin, but I think Lane Kiffin, very good recruiter. Coach Drinkwitz, very good recruiter. It would be interesting to see how quickly they could flip Florida back to being where people would like them to be, at least with Gator Nation. Plus, I will say this too. Steve Spurrier mentioned this. Visor. Lane Kiffin wears what? A visor. Coach Drinkwitz wears what? A visor. I don't know. There's a little bit of Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier in Elijah Drinkwitz and a little bit of Steve Spurrier and Lane Kiffin. I think they both would fit.
We'll talk more local college football Thursday and Friday on this show. Of course, Sunflower Showdown, KU, K-State, Missouri. Big game against Vandy. They are slight dogs. Missouri is 2.5, I think, at last check. Underdogs to Diego Pavia, who now has like the fifth best odds to win the Heisman. So huge local college football weekend ahead. We'll get there later on in the week. But in the meantime,
Ash of the Day.
All right. I was sent this one from the boss.
Wow.
It's a great one. It's a great one. This one takes us to China, where they're testing something out. Now, we were discussing yesterday the red zone and the commercials and everything, and we differ at least on a little bit of how annoying it is or whatever. This one, this has gone too far. This is way too far.
So you're finally on board with commercials have gone too far? Let me
hear. Well, here's why. Public restrooms in parts of China are testing new dispensers that release toilet paper only after users scan a QR code and watch an online advertisement. Yeah, this is real. This is not an Onion article, I swear. This is from techspot.com. China's testing restroom machines that make you watch ads in exchange for toilet papers. They are trying to curb waste. If I need to wipe my rear end, I have to watch a commercial, is what you're telling me. The mounted paper dispensers are equipped with optical scanners that display a QR code. You must use your smartphone to connect to the dispenser. So again, so now you're on the jaw and you got to pull your phone out to then scan a QR code just to get a little, I don't know how much toilet paper they're dispensing. They're trying to conserve waste.
Wait, so do they
also... If you're unwilling to engage with the promotional content, you can bypass the process by paying 7 cents.
So wait, I got to pay money to,
to get toilet paper?
Come on. In a public restroom?
Municipal officials have described the program as part of an ongoing campaign to reduce waste in public facilities. Cases of residents and tourists taking large amounts of complimentary paper have been documented for years in high traffic areas, leading some city governments in China to test technology-based rationing systems. Yeah.
I gotta say.
This is insane.
This is offensive. And this just goes back to my point on Red Zone. It's just like,
oh, this is a whole different. This is a whole different.
Some part of my life should not be inundated with ads. There was a car company not that long ago that just put like the Tron commercial in the dashboard. I didn't ask for the Tron trailer. I don't need to watch it. Thanks. You don't have to inundate me with ads in every part of my life. I'm on the toilet. Come on.
That's where if you pay a little bit more.
Now you better start. Someone said you better start bringing those like dude wipes with you or whatever if you're there.
Absolutely. I'm just carrying them around. I'm going to have to carry a man bag. I'm going to need like a satchel or something.
People are wearing those. Are very popular these days too.
Cody, this is a lot. In a way, this is sort of kind of like the red zone conversation is all of a sudden, hey, if you don't want this, you can skip it. You don't have to have the ads, but you got to pay a little bit more. Just a little bit more.
You're
going
to make me watch an ad to shake after, you know, like, where was the line? It all starts somewhere, you know?
You're saying it's... Yeah, that's
someone
insane.
Did say this feels like a Black Mirror episode. That actually is correct. Absolutely right on that one.
And then you're just stuck before a big
someone
interview.
Says, this
your
sucks.
Phone's out
someone
of battery.
Says,
you don't have your debit card on you.
Yeah.
You're like, what am I supposed to do? How do I save myself in this situation?
Someone did say, they go, this is actually sexist. They said, if you're a woman, you're using toilet paper every single time.
It's true.
You know?
It's a pink tax.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a sexist policy.
Someone
it's way
said,
worse for you.
Said, no thanks. I'll just wear my adult diapers.
Just go with the Depends or bring the dude wipes so you don't have to pay the 7 cents.
Dude wipes might be a move.
Twitch, you see him saying like they're going to charge you like per length of ad. You want one ply or two ply? 15, 30 second, 60 second
That's
ad?
That's insane.
You know, which one you want? I got to choose my quality of toilet
Someone
paper,
says,
the amount I get.
In Ireland, you pay to use public restrooms, but they're all spotless.
Seriously.
Someone said in Ireland, someone else said somewhere else in Europe, this on the text line, that you pay a small fee to use a public restroom, but they're always perfect.
That doesn't...
Public restroom?
If you told me every public restroom I use was spotless, I might be tempted by the pay.
I don't know, man.
It's
a public restroom. I'm already paying in some form or fashion for the public restroom and taxes or whatever, and I got to pay on top of it.
In fairness, you can go
I need to keep it clean.
You can go to a Love's gas station right now, and the restrooms are perfectly fine, and you don't have to pay a cent.
That's not a regular spot for me.
Someone said their son played a football game in Finland, and at the train station in Helsinki, you pay to use the bathroom. This is a common thing. But not you're not paying. I mean, either
it
way,
sounds crazy,
you're
though,
paying
still.
For the toilet paper or you're paying to walk into the bathroom. One sounds way worse than the other, but it's the same thing.
Same thing. I'd rather pay for no ad, though.
Yeah, there's no ad.
Now, they're saying you can pay for no ad. They're saying it's 7 cents.
Or, yeah, so you're either way, you're paying, or would you rather watch the ad and not have to pay?
I would rather watch the ad and not have to pay than pay to go to the restaurant, to walk in.
It just feels like a Black
Mirror. It's like an entry fee.
But some of this is like a cultural thing. We're not used to doing it. In Finland, they are used to doing it, so it doesn't seem odd to them. You know?
Also, is 50 cents the same in terms of like valuation, in terms of like...
I assume it's similar, maybe like a dime. I mean, who's
I'll tell you this, you're not being as wasteful with how much toilet paper you're grabbing, though.
Evidently, yeah.
You imagine get to the end of your month budget and you're like, all right, where did we spend where you shouldn't? Gold, you spent $1.50?
Imagine here.
On bathrooms this month?
Could you imagine?
Tighten that up, man.
Stop going to public restrooms.
Yeah. Wait till you get home. Go before you leave the house.
Yeah. Could you imagine in your workplace? Like, imagine if next break you went down in the Odyssey bathroom, and it was one of those where they just had to scan your ID card and it deducts out of your paycheck.
Fair
it's
enough.
Like, hey, it's 50 cents every single time you go in there.
If they'd had a second urinal, I'd happily pay whatever they asked.
There is only one urinal.
It's a terrible bathroom.
There is only one urinal. That is true.
It's it
doesn't make any sense.
Plus the stalls are all offset anyways. You know,
If you see,
an odd thing.
I'll pay whatever.
I've got the door banging up. I got the door leaning on me as I'm trying to go to the bathroom. Like, come on now.
It's true. It is very true. All right. That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Someone that left the game due to a back injury. What's the latest on him and the likelihood he plays against the Commanders?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Anders, that's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up at 1 o'clock today, Nate Taylor from ESPN will join us in studio. We'll get his perspective on the Chiefs' big win against the Raiders. Look ahead a little bit to the Commanders, some of the storylines and talking points around this team. Also in the 1 o'clock hour, as we mentioned, it is Drew's birthday today. He is part of the 30 Club, so some advice, things he needs to do in his 30s. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today.
Or not do, apparently.
Or not do. But a lot of the responses have mainly been, hey, man, you're not 25 anymore. You got to exercise more.
Get some fiber in your diet.
Metabolism slows down. And boy, that's true.
Why fiber, Cody?
Helps you poop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to run into problems like that, you know?
You don't want to be constipated and stuff.
Right. Of course not. Of course not.
You're in your 30s now, man. Can't just be taking risks.
The metabolism definitely slows down. Trust me.
I
know, Drew, you probably thought that, you know, like, I left that sandwich meat out for a couple of hours. I'll probably be fine. Your body can't reject that anymore. You know, your body will reject that moving forward. Can't be taking risky food choices.
Yeah.
No more.
Like, I left that pizza out. I can still eat it for breakfast.
No more hot Cheetos. Yeah.
Is your wife older or younger than you?
Younger.
Okay. All right. So she hasn't already turned 30.
When will she turn 30?
September of next year.
Okay.
About a year.
All right, so we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. You guys can text in 913-586-7965. Trey Smith tried to get back in the game on Sunday, and he did for a series and then left again. They were clearly on the sideline working out his back, trying to stretch him out a little bit. Andy Reid, after the game, said that they didn't believe it was a serious injury. Quote, back injury is nothing serious. We'll have to see what happens next. And we will hear from Andy Reid again on Thursday with the Monday schedule. Everything's pushed back a day.
Yep.
I'm not worried, you know, that this is something that's going to hold him out for multiple games. I think he's still probably going to play even on Monday. But that would be where you would start to really have your depth questions, because you know you have Kingsley on the left side. You got Trey Smith on the right. Caliendo's filled it on the left side. All of a sudden, you're starting to get a little bit thinner there. Trey Smith, to me, the way him and Creed have played the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, is also as much of the story about the offense as anything, too. You know, we've mentioned so much about Juwan Taylor playing much better. Josh Simmons was playing great when he was out there. Jalen Moore's done a nice job since he's now started two games in a row for Kansas City. But when they were struggling on offense and the offensive line, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey were not playing great football the first 2 weeks of the season either.
Correct.
They both are playing at a very high level again. We know they have to have Trey Smith, but I actually, this is one of those times where you hear comments after a game, and the fact that Andy was willing to go as far already and say, yeah, we don't think it's anything serious, that should put everybody at ease.
I think my fear is that they're one offensive line injury away from all of this goodwill built up gold to be a problem. They obviously pass protected really well the last 2 weeks without Josh Simmons, but because they're down to their backup tackle, and look, I'm sure Wanya Morris is the best third tackle on anyone's team in the NFL, maybe, right? Because he's actually started and played in NFL football games. But, like, you can't get to that point. That means no injuries No injuries for Taylor. No injuries, right, because the absence of Simmons for Moore. And you are just, like, ooh, real tight on the guard stuff. Look, if Trey Smith comes back, not as tight on the guard stuff, because you can always have Caliendo, who did a serviceable job, did a nice job in the absence of it. But it just feels like they're skating a little closer to the, it's a little closer to the edge than I want it to be.
Trey Smith, maybe he would have stayed out even if it was a close game, but the Juwan Taylor shoulder thing or Kingsley limping around, to me, those were things where the game was out of hand, and so there was no reason to push the issue with those. Like, Juwan Taylor, I'm not worried about his shoulder or anything like that. I think a lot of that was, hey, the game was, it was 31-0.
I just meant, like, injuries in general. Things happen, people miss time, people get hurt.
You
and
never go
Simmons
through a full
is in
season.
Limbo, and we have no concept of when he might return. There is this, like, and you're right, you're never going to go a season, but, like, tackle's just, like, it's, other than quarterback, it's, like, the last place you want an injury at.
Yeah.
They're lucky, because, not lucky, they're smart, because they signed Moore and then drafted Simmons, but they're fortunate, I would say, to have that level of player. But now they're right back on thin edge with everyone else, where they didn't want Wanya to start last year. They switched to a guard before they let Wanya play regular left tackle. You know?
I just think their situation with depth is no different than any other team in the NFL on the offensive line. Any other team, if you worry about losing a tackle, for example, you're going to be you're going to be concerned. I don't care if you're the Chiefs, if you're the Eagles, the Bills, whoever. The Chiefs had the luxury because of the signing of Jalen Moore, who they were prepared to start at left tackle if they didn't draft Josh Simmons. So they were better prepared there than last year and better prepared than most teams in the NFL. But that's not even that normal. So any team in football, if they lose their tackle or guard, it's going to be problematic. But I think other than the ongoing Josh Simmons saga, which is still a complete unknown at this point in time in terms of timeline or anything, I think they're fine. I think the guys that were a little nicked up in the game.
You're just saying you're nicked up and then the game got out of control.
I think they'll all be fine for Monday.
Look, by the time they tried to put Trey Smith back in the game and he was back in the sideline, it looked like he was going to be out. The game was done. I mean, done. It did not matter. So, like, that part of it doesn't really have much of an impact because it was not in any kind of circumstance where he needed to come back in. And so, you know, I wasn't overly worried about it at that point. I'm just saying, like, it is a unit that we have to watch for injury, not watch to make sure that they're doing okay holding up. Now, look, they helped out a little in that Raiders game. That didn't matter because Crosby eventually got hurt, and that's their only really good pass rusher. And but they built a really, really good and deep offensive line. It'd be pretty bad timing to have another injury on that line, in my opinion, because then you would be on your backup left tackle, a backup guard. And still, Kingsley, who has been very good, admittedly, you know, a second-year player who is still learning a new position, in my opinion. So, like, you know, I'd like to make sure that they're secure where they can be secure, because I feel like they could run into a game where a team could get to them if Trey Smith were to miss any kind of time. Now, again, I'm not saying that's there yet, but, you know, got dinged up in one back, problems can flare back up.
So it's not often that we play someone from Colin Cowherd that's not usually picking some dark horse team to defeat the Chiefs or win the AFC West, but I thought he nailed his commentary on where the Chiefs are at and big picture NFL status, which is, hey, teams had a chance to catch up the first few weeks and maybe even in the offseason, and those teams failed.
I don't feel bad for the Chargers or Baltimore or Joe Burrow and the Bengals, although he's hurt this year. You know, all these teams had a chance. Kansas City was 3-3. They didn't have Rice. They didn't have Worthy. This was your time to make up ground on them. But right now, Kansas City's not only back, I think they're better than ever. They have drafted so well. This is the deepest, twitchiest, most unique wide receiving core, the best play designer, the best distributor. I watched yesterday, and I mean, it was like Mahomes was in a baseball cap in the fourth quarter. It's like they pulled their starting pitcher after a great two-hitter, and he had a six-run lead in the seventh inning, and he sat in the bench, the dugout, and watched. But I don't see a hole. I said this a month ago when they clobbered the Ravens. Everybody said, oh, the Ravens are beat up. That's not what I watched. Right now, they just keep adding elements. And I saw it with the Rams in Jacksonville. The smart teams in this league, they miss on draft picks. They make mistakes. They get players hurt. They have 2- and 3-game slumps. But they course correct. They identify mistakes quickly.
It's all coaching. Kyle Shanahan, a couple Thursday nights ago with the 49ers, had Mac Jones and Sky Moore and DeMarcus Robinson and all this, and they won against actually those Rams, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
But Sean McVay, throughout his tenure, has dealt with injuries to Matthew Stafford, and now he's dealing with one again with Puka Nacua again, and they found a way to win a game. Andy Reid has done that time and time again. I think it's a great point. I mean, it is. There's the Ravens, who I think Harbaugh is still a pretty darn good coach, but they had a bunch of injuries, and they've, to this point, been unable to overcome that. We'll see. They're back after a bye week.
Apart.
They're 1-5. They're coming off a bye. They get the Bears. If they win that game, everybody will probably say, oh, here we go. If they lose, it's over for Baltimore. They'll be 1-6.
I think he already hasn't practiced early this
Lamar,
week.
Lamar, yeah.
So we'll see whether he actually gets on a practice field. Otherwise,
we're almost at the time of the year where Lamar has the random flu or just illness or whatever that no other quarterback seems to get.
I think it's inarguable at this point if you just look at every number, every metric, every conceivable thing. The Chiefs are not just deserving of being the favorites, which they are heavy favorites. They are clearly the best team in the AFC, despite the one Bills fan who texts into this show pretty regularly, who lives in the Kansas City area.
I think that person's just trolling. They're just trolling.
He's got a 913 number, so I'm more
confused. I think that person just likes to troll.
They are clearly the best team in the NFL. Because look at the Chiefs' schedule so far, and right now, the teams that they lost to are current playoff teams. Whether you take the Jags serious or not, and that game makes less sense as time goes on, the Chargers are in the playoff field, the Eagles are in the playoff field, so are the Jags. So they're losing to playoff teams, and they were doing it without their full complement of weapons. They started figuring it out before they got Rice. Then they got Rice back. So, like, if they started figuring it out before that and then balanced into it, I don't know who I should look at and say they're more talented top to bottom than Kansas City. Been a long time since we said that. That's maybe the point on this. The Chiefs have the best roster in the AFC. I didn't think that going into the year. And I haven't thought that, and it hasn't been true for years. I think that now. Do you think that? I think they're the best roster in the AFC.
Baltimore before the season was the answer everybody gave. Before the season, everybody universally, I would say, would have said, oh, Baltimore. Nobody's saying they're going to say the best team, but roster Baltimore top to bottom. That's clearly not true. One, they're also hurt, but clearly just not true. They've got some serious deficiencies. Also, I think Derrick Henry has fallen off a little bit. We'll get to that during all 32. You know, Buffalo, definitely don't, because of their defensive issues. And wide receiver-wise, it's pretty bleak for them. Keon Coleman has not developed into who they thought. That Chiefs pick getting Worthy instead of Coleman looks better and better every single week, and that's with Worthy missing a couple of games this year. Keon Coleman, I'm not saying he's going to end up not doing anything in his career, but he's been a massive disappointment there.
You might take the Chiefs' top three weapons before you got to a Bills one. In a blind draft of offensive weapons, I guess Cook, that's maybe the only argument. But running back doesn't matter. In a blind draft of offensive weapons, how long before you got to a Bills player between the two teams? They line up and it's Red Rover. I'm getting to Rice and Worthy and Kelsey probably before I get to a...
Yeah. Do you get to Hollywood before, based on how he's played?
No, you know, James Cook. It's Cook or Kelsey. It's either three or four, okay. You know? I would take the tight end because I think running backs you can make work, certainly in that scenario. But, like, it's... But if we blind draft it all the way to 10, is what, 7 of the 10 Chiefs
and then
offensive
weapons? Go to the Colts. And I, as we said yesterday, I think the Colts, they have guys that are all playing their role, like a true team.
Yes.
Is it the best roster top to bottom? No, it's not. But
it's a very balanced
they're
roster.
They're 6-1. Pittman knows his role, and Downs knows his role, and Warren has his role. Taylor, like, they well-coached, like, true team. That's what the Indianapolis Colts are, to their credit, right now. And then in other potential teams, the Patriots obviously do not have the best top to bottom roster. Keep going. Pittsburgh doesn't either. Their defense has some deficiencies outside of TJ Watt and Hayward right now. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs absolutely have the case now, which was not something anybody was saying heading into the season. Even those of us that thought they were going to win 14 games this year did not think necessarily they had the best top to bottom. You said they have the best coach, they got the best quarterback. They'll make up for some of the deficiencies.
Because that's what they have been doing. I think they have the best roster in the AFC. And that's why I think they're the heavy favorite, despite the fact, as we pointed out in the show, they would not be in the playoffs if they started today. And I know that their schedule is not easy. Like, the Commanders are a winning team. They've got them this Monday night. The Bills on the road too, right? Orchard Park's not an easy
typically place to play. It's a game the Chiefs lose. They beat them in the postseason. They usually lose the regular season matchup.
Then at the Broncos, that's a difficult defense. They've come back on two very good football teams. Or not one good football team, one bad football team. But they've come back multiple times in the fourth quarter, so they're not easy to put away. And then the Colts. Their next four games, and the Commanders really depends on the Jaden Daniels things. Look, if Marcus Mariota starts, their next four games is not a huge stretch. The three games or four games after this are. Because at Buffalo, at Denver, against the Colts, and at Dallas, that's a stretch. That's a stretch of four teams who can beat most teams in the NFL. You come out of that clean, well, then you've just told the rest of the NFL, it's been nice seeing you this year. I hope you enjoy your summer or trip to Cancun in February, because it won't be you heading to Santa Clara. It'll be us.
I think the part of that schedule that's different that we haven't seen in probably 4 years, and we don't know what advantage it gives them. So many times the Chiefs have had these early buys, and now they're for the first time, I think in 3 or 4 years, are going to have a bye week past the halfway point.
Yep. Right before Denver.
You know,
good time.
Right after Buffalo. Great time. And knock on wood, you know, they are fairly healthy too. But that is from a energy standpoint and being fresh and all that, knowing that you've been going through season after season of really 20 games a year, essentially. The fact that the Chiefs finally have a year in which their bye week is not in the first, you know, week 6, 7, 8, is, I think, a massive boost and advantage for them. The Buffalo Bills just had their bye this past week in week 6. Not that they're going to be worn out by the time they play the Chiefs, but my point is, what does that do for them come playoff time? Last year, who was it that had, because the Chiefs had the weird, funky schedule around Christmas, they had the early bye, but there were teams like the Texans and other playoff teams that had a week 12 or week 14 bye, and we were like, what the hell is going on? So this year, the Chiefs have something they haven't had before, which is a much later bye week, and I think that is going to really help them out come week 15, 16, and beyond.
It's certainly not a bad, as I would point out, bye week. There are better ones, but it is certainly a pretty good one. And so, yeah, I don't know. I look more and more at the schedule, and I feel better and better about it. But some of this goes back to, why are the Chiefs the favorite? Well, I don't know. Patrick Mahomes is playing at an MVP level. That probably has something to do with it, man. It's not that hard of a stretch to figure out. I'm assuming, and I have not looked at the MVP odds this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're through the games, Baker losing is going to push him further
it
down
did.
The list.
It did.
Patrick Mahomes winning and by a pretty sizable margin, I imagine shoved him. Did it push him into the minus category?
Not minus. No, not minus, but Josh Allen was on a bye, so he was, you know, not able to put up at a, you know, any type of performance. So Mahomes is plus 125 now. So his odds almost have improved. Plus 125. Allen still has the second best odds at plus 350. He was tied with Baker before the week. Baker lost, so he falls all the way back to the fourth best odds at 9-1. Drake May is up from 10-1 to 7-1 with the third best odds. I still would rather put money on Baker at 9-1 than Drake May at 7-1.
Same.
And I think Drake May. I think Drake May and continues on an upward trajectory. We've talked about this even from like the nerdy sports card angle. I continue to invest in Drake May cards, and I believe long term he's going to continue to improve. I don't think he's winning MVP though this year. And as we said last week, Josh Allen's not out of this conversation at all.
Can I ask why Daniel Jones isn't a part of it? He has
22-1.
He's completing 71% of his passes for almost 1,800 yards,
mm-hmm.
10 touchdowns, 3 picks. He's running the ball well.
Probably like, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, which is
there some reason why he's not?
Yeah, the narrative and the fact that a lot of people are probably thinking it's the Sam Darnold thing all over last year. Remember, midway through last year, we're not even at the midway point, but midway through last year, Sam Darnold was an MVP candidate. Yeah, I think it was Carrington that was making a strong case. And I'm not saying he was wrong
I'm
at the time.
Daniel Jones deserves to be in it right now.
Yeah, but my point, I think that is why he's so, because people, it's the same thing. I don't think Daniel Jones at the end of the season will be playing at the exact same level. That's all.
What is Josh? Where is Josh Allen at again?
Second best odds.
Daniel Jones. So I went. And I
You're a Josh Allen hater. We ran into this last year with the MVP
stuff. I do have to admit this. I think that's true.
I do think
Daniel Jones has 400 more yards passing than Josh Allen.
He's played one more game though. Mm-hmm.
He has more yards per game by 20. It's more than that he's 20 matters. Yards per game. He has about the same amount of touchdowns and picks. He has a significantly better QBR. It feels like Daniel Jones should be in that conversation, or Josh Allen should not be in that conversation as much, because if we're looking at total yardage, Josh Allen, Joe Flacco has as many yards as Josh Allen basically does.
If the MVP ended today, Daniel Jones would finish with a top four vote getter.
Yes. Like
he would have
to. So like the odds are reflecting the fact that they don't think it will maintain. If it ended today, Patrick Mahomes would actually win the MVP. Josh Allen would finish second or third, and Daniel Jones would probably finish next.
So they think Josh Allen's getting better, because over the course of this season, he's really not been that great.
They still think Josh Allen will end up winning his division and being one of the top teams in the league.
Even if they win the division,
and this is also
he
not
hasn't
just,
been playing that great.
And it's not even just where what it's not what FanDuel thinks. It's where the money also is coming in, right?
Sure.
Like, all that Daniel Jones at 22-1. Not, you know, Drake May is 7-1 now. More and more money's coming in on him. This can change in a hurry. Like, if Daniel Jones, when they play the Chiefs, the Colts play the Chiefs in, what, like 4 weeks?
Yep.
If Daniel Jones throws up 350 and beats Mahomes, then
he's number one. He would have to be.
I don't know if he's number one, but he's going to be 5-1, 3-1, 21. So it'll all sort itself out. I understand, like, by the way, Daniel Jones, same odds as Dak Prescott, who's having a great season, too.
Nobody's on a worse team.
Worst team, 22-1, and we've talked about the divisional stuff. Jared Goff is 18-1. Matthew Stafford's 12-1. So it's going to be a fun one to watch. I get the Daniel Jones, hey, he should maybe not be 22-1. We all look for value, but I also still want to win, and I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be the 2025 NFL MVP.
I think it just comes down to, like, again, if the award ended today, people would debate Daniel Jones. They would put him in the conversation. He would get to be a part of it.
He's got the fourth best odds to be comeback player of the year. Even that. Dak Prescott is minus 105. McCaffrey plus 185. Aiden Hutchinson 5.5-1. Daniel Jones 6.5-1.
He wasn't hurt, was he?
This is the same crap as a couple years ago when Joe Flacco won
disgusting.
It.
Can I say that I know you guys are on that side. I think it's more impressive to come back from being awful than to come back from like any injury.
But you're most improved then.
This is where I've said you're not coming back from anything. NBA does. You need to have a comeback player of the year award and a most improved player of the year, because those are two different things.
But currently they aren't. And I just think I think it's actually more impressive to come back from being stinky and having played an entire year than coming back from a knee or ankle injury.
You shouldn't get an award though.
Why do we give an award from coming back from a knee injury?
Because you're overcoming something. Not just overcoming being a crappy quarterback.
I think that's harder to overcome.
But that's not what the award is.
In fairness, Cody,
But you are overcoming something. Overcoming coming back from crappy is overcoming
something. But Cody, to your point though, I think also you could recognize Shane Steichen and the Colts for being just as important to Daniel Jones' success coming back as anything else. It goes to everything, like Andy to Mahomes. It would make more sense if Daniel Jones was still with the Giants and was somehow better. That would be, I think, more of a pass, if you will.
If Daniel Jones keeps playing at this level and Mahomes does as well, and it gets clear that Mahomes is going to win the award, you will have some voters that will give the sympathy vote for comeback player of the year to Daniel Jones. It'll be the same thing as the Flacco award. Now, at the time, the AP put out a whole thing after that happened and said, basically, you're not supposed to vote that way. But as we've acknowledged, that doesn't mean they can prove that I voted because of that. Like, they can't prevent me from doing a vote, having a vote on Daniel Jones. They can say,
but they can take players off the ballot, though, right?
No, they cannot. That's the whole thing.
So they can't limit it to players who only got injured last year.
They can say, here's the voting criteria, but it doesn't actually prevent someone from putting Daniel Jones on their ballot.
Correct.
So somebody could say, theoretically, somebody could say Patrick Mahomes is comeback player of the year.
Theoretically, yes.
But nobody ever takes
that.
That's the extreme example.
You don't come back from mediocrity.
Obviously, that's an extreme example.
Christian McCaffrey and Dak Prescott are coming back from injury. Aiden Hutchinson. I don't think Daniel Jones will win comeback player of the year. To me, Aiden Hutchinson and Dak Prescott would be my two picks if they continue on their
I don't know why it wouldn't be Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he's been the best.
He's coming off a great game. A week ago, I don't know if we would be saying it as much, but like he's coming off a 200-plus yard game.
He's coming off his best. Number one wide receiver numbers.
Someone said Rasheed could make a case for comeback if Rasheed is
100 to 1.
If Rasheed hangs 100 yards, if he gets to 1,200 yards a game, I think he absolutely should be in the final three.
And people are going to be like, what, coming back from
Exactly.
He's coming back from the injury, though, too. He's a tough case.
Yeah.
You're right.
Someone did say Flacco wasn't even just coming back from being bad. He was literally on his couch when he won it. Daniel Jones was still in the league.
Anyway, again, more impressive than, I hurt my ankle. The doctor fixed it. Now I feel better.
NFL can solve this very easily. Most improved player of the year award and comeback player of the year. It alleviates any of this debate. All right. Up next, guys, let's get to what's trending. Then back into the biggest question remaining for the Chiefs and a little all 32 next.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.